Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
We are live at Hops and Hollers today, Masters Friday, special promotion here, partnering up with Inward Half Golf, raising some money for First Tee of Greater Knoxville. $1 off of every pint sold today will go to First Tee of Greater Knoxville. We'll be out here till 3 o'clock. Russell Smith, the drive, will be here till 6. We're going to bring some games, have some golf games for you. We got a booth set up, giving away a koozie, some golf tees. We got some hats out here for sale, some polos to get you ready for golf season. And like I said, we're up here in the tent, Hops and Hollers, watching the Masters. Justin Rose probably wished he could restart the day as he is struggling off. Going to make it more interesting. He was the only guy that really played well yesterday.
Yeah, rough day. There was some stat I saw that was like the total combined score was like in the 200s as compared to last year. It was like minus 54 after the first day. So everybody was having a rough day pretty much.
Well, I knew the wind. I knew they were talking about the wind drying out the greens and making it a really tough playing condition, making it really tough for golfers. You had Rose at 7-under. Everyone else, I think, it kind of maxed out at, what, 3? Everyone else is at 3?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And he has come back to the field early in the morning. Usually in the morning, the greens play a little bit better.
Yeah.
They water it down, get it going. And some thought that Rose might be able to come down and really build a lead out the gate. Playing in the morning, usually a benefit.
He had the, best score on the final 9 holes, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he struggled at the beginning. He was, I think, 2 over through 7. So, mm-hmm. I mean, then he really caught fire.
I think 9 under in the last 11 there.
Yep, but now he is 3 over for the day, only 4 under for the tournament as some guy I've never heard of. Weisberger? Who the hell is Weisberger?
He's hot. Red hot right now.
Burned Weisberger. 5 under on the day. He has risen up to second place, him and Mark Leishman. We got the Masters on. Come hang out with us. Help raise some money for a good cause. Get you some golf gear and just say hi.
Oh, yeah.
Say what's up. Go follow Inward Half Golf on Twitter. They're giving away a $125 gift card to help get you suited up. Go give them a follow on social media. Tweet at them. It might help your chances. Come by and see us. All right. How are we doing today? Thumbs up from Hayden back in the Fan Run Studios. Draven, you good?
Doing well. Beautiful weather out here. Should have brought the shades. Kind of got the sun in my eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably squint at you guys a little bit. But
what are you thinking? No sunglasses? You're wearing black jeans?
I know, but hey, I got my lucky shirt on. This is a lucky shirt
right
here.
That's your lucky shirt?
Yeah.
What's lucky about your Brixton?
Just seems like every time I wear it, John, just good things tend to happen. Good things tend to happen.
Somebody pay for your food again today?
No, not today. I was hoping so after I put it on. But no, everybody. I think everybody's got those, lucky garments. Lucky clothes that you wear just to feel a little bit more confidence about yourself.
I've got a lot of unlucky clothes.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got a lot of Tennessee gear that I associate with losing.
Right. Yep.
Right.
A lot of outfits that I've worn that I'm like, okay, this one's my unlucky shirt. I don't know if I found my lucky one yet.
Okay. Still searching, huh? Still searching.
Yeah.
For a while, I thought maybe my McNair jersey was lucky, but Then we lost in the playoffs with me wearing it, so it's not lucky. It's right. It's retired. Cam, you good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It is a gorgeous day out here. It's crazy nice. It feels nice to just be out here enjoying the weather, watching some Masters. It's a good time. This is what spring's all about right here.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
And maybe hearing me suck snot as I try to get over these allergies. I did take my medicine. Cam dodging bees out here. That's what spring's all about.
Yep, this is it. Nature is healing.
A nice breeze. Well, what's the story of the day? Balls hitting the transfer portal. We got a whole gaggle of them.
Mm-hmm.
A whole gaggle.
Yeah, we're good at sending people to the transfer portal.
EJ Anasicki says, all right, I'm out.
Yep.
Headed to the transfer portal. I don't think that's a deal at all. I'd say that's a net positive for Tennessee.
And him, probably.
And him. Yeah, you are exactly right. I would say that if he would have been in the rotation next year, it would have been a big failure for Tennessee.
Yep, absolutely.
A failure for Rick Barnes. Mm-hmm. So I've got zero issue with that. We got Devontae Gaines, the ticket. Mm-hmm. He had already been in the transfer portal. He says he's going to George Mason to play with Kim English.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like Gaines is a good teammate, good culture guy, good locker room guy. If I'm Kim English, it's probably somebody you want to have around that will help set the tone for what you expect.
Enforce your culture a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And plus, Gaines could probably play at that level.
Yeah.
Watch Gaines score like 17 points a game next year. Kim English is unlock him.
90% from the free throw line.
Yeah. He's really going to practice all year and come back better than ever.
Jeez. That would be our luck.
And then, a guy that might surprise some, might not surprise the other half, but a big name, at least recruiting profile wise, you have freshman Corey Walker.
Yeah.
Announcing that he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Really, all these things happen within an hour of each other, it seemed like.
Is that a little strange that kind of occurred that way? Is that because that usually doesn't happen where they're all kind of bang, bang, bang at the same time?
With Gaines, I mean, I doubt it was orchestrated at all. It was weird that it happened within an hour, but with Gaines, I'd say that's just coincidental, but probably not with Anasicki and Walker. I would say that was a thing that they probably decided to do together.
Yeah.
Or at least for it to come out together.
Yeah.
For the reports to come out and be like, hey, both these guys are leaving. So, Tennessee, a couple extra scholarships open up.
Yeah. Get some transfers in, maybe.
Anasicki, not a deal at all. Corey Walker, how do we feel?
I mean, you would hope, you were kind of hoping the potential would show through one day, but, he wasn't really a contributor yet. So.
He didn't even, when did he step on the floor? Am I missing the time that he was on the floor? Because I don't remember him hitting the floor at all.
He did not.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think he did.
And I know there was, some injuries kind of linked in there. But, at the end of the day, to not see the floor the whole entire season makes me think it's obviously past injuries, right?
You would think so a little bit.
No, I would say the injuries probably stopped at the beginning. But there was a lot of stuff around Walker, whether it be off the court stuff, not buying into the culture, not playing defense, things like that. Barnes and him just did not see eye to eye on how they viewed basketball. So I would say he was healthy.
Yeah.
The foot injury at the beginning of the year was probably just it was reported just to be a thing that was kind of limiting him, but not something that would end the season. A little bit more breaking news as Barnes goes on Instagram and says, I'll always cherish my 4 great years at Tennessee, and I'm proud to be a Vol for life. Sounds like an official declaration that he will be pursuing professional basketball at some level.
Yep.
So add it to the list. Add it to the list, Pons. I'll always cherish my 4 great years at Tennessee, and I'm proud to be a Vol for life. So another opening.
Okay.
We'll continue to talk Tennessee basketball after the break. Hayden, send us out. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3,
are back out here at Hops and Hollers. Got a couple people starting to trickle in here a little bit. Take advantage of checking out the Masters and this nice weather out here today.
First name in the bucket for the $125 gift card giveaway.
I'd say he's the leader in the clubhouse.
He is the leader in the clubhouse. I get it. It's a golf joke during the Masters. I understand. I get it. Good one, as Draven says. Good one. Much like the Axelrod, I'm going to have to get the bocce balls out later, Draven.
Uh-oh.
We'll see it. Go there. I don't know. You know, you hyped up your axe throwing.
I didn't hype
bit.
Up my axe throwing. I've never claimed to be a great axe thrower. That's not true.
You knew what you were doing, at least.
That's not true.
You act like you knew what you were doing.
I did know what I was doing. That doesn't mean I didn't throw well that day, but I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was doing. I just didn't do it properly.
Okay.
I know what I'm doing when it comes to bocce, buddy. So we got Tennessee basketball turnover. Hayden, as he joins us back at the Fan Run Studios. First of all, good afternoon, sir. Hope you're well. Your initial thoughts on this this attrition for Rick Barnes' program?
It's great, John. It's great. Ready to see some new faces on there. I am curious to see if Fulkerson comes back now, because I feel like it's going to come out in the next few hours or few days if he will or won't. So that's pretty much all we're waiting on. I think everybody else is pretty locked in to come back with Euros and Kamwal and Josiah, obviously.
Good point by you on Fulkerson.
Yep.
I would imagine if he was going to be leaving, we would hear something soon, right? Like, it does seem like Tennessee is doing a little spring cleaning, if you will, and getting guys to make their decisions public.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it has anything to do with numbers they're trying to figure out for the roster, because Tennessee is going to try to fill these spots, obviously, with transfers.
Yep. Yeah, you want to be able to go ahead and get in if you can, so you kind of want a good idea of what you're going to have going into the next year, so you can go ahead and start trying to make moves on some of these guys you really want that are on, you know, high priorities on your list.
So how many – what number are we up to now, Hayden? We got the two freshmen – well, the three freshmen now. You got Anisicki, that's four. Pons is five. Am I missing anybody? Gaines, six. Pember, seven. We got seven new faces coming in.
Wow.
Am I missing anybody?
I don't think so. I just know we have 14 spots, scholarship spots available now for next year with Anisicki leaving, because Fulkerson adds a one that doesn't count. So we have 14 total scholarships available for next year. And
also, Fulkerson isn't counting next year. Okay, so I guess you can go ahead and set eight spots then. I mean, for scholarships – if Fulkerson's isn't going to count. I don't know. If Tennessee has an extra one, I would imagine they could still count it, though, and not have to pay out of pocket, because wasn't that going to be the thing with these guys? The school was going to have to absorb their costs.
Yeah. We would have had 15 spots if Anisicki stayed, which I thought he would, just because might as well have an extra guy.
I don't think Anisicki was going to play here. I think Anisicki, yeah. if you're his age and you had the year you had, you probably would value playing more than being a bench guy on a team that, you know, it's one thing if you're trying to win a championship, maybe, but I don't think Tennessee's going to be a championship level team next year. At least, you know, I wouldn't bank on it. So maybe he's just like, I'd rather go play somewhere. Maybe he ends up at George Mason. Maybe he ends up at, you know, somewhere. Yeah, UNC Asheville, or where was it? ETSU, I guess, where we had a coach go. Maybe you go there. Just go play. Just go somewhere and play. Corey Walker, a guy from the heralded 2020 recruiting class, gave you 0 minutes. Keon leaves a top 10 pick guaranteed, it feels like. I don't see how his stock would go down outside of an injury, simply because, like, now it's at the parts where he's going to really excel in terms of workouts and athleticism.
Yeah, oh yeah. He should test real well at some of those athleticism stuff.
I would be shocked if he falls outside the top 10. He leaves as a one-and-done freshman, a lottery pick, a top 10 pick. Springer leaves as a first-round pick. You finish fourth in the SEC. You won zero tournament games. How will we remember this 2020 recruiting class? Disappointing? Underachieving, talented.
Woohoo.
What was that, Cam?
It put some people in the draft. Woohoo.
Yeah, wasn't that what we were kind of banking on, getting all excited
one and done.
About?
We started getting one and done players. That's kind of what we're going to, I feel like, be at.
Yeah, and I mean, that tradition, I would say, is most likely going to continue next year.
Like, in a few years, like, if we have, three or four in a row in a few years, there's going to be that graphic that pops up and be like, one and done players at Tennessee, and it's going to start with this draft class.
But I would say that if you don't start winning games, then it's probably not going to feel good.
Yeah. Oh, no, not at all. But if it starts working out and you start having success with this system and, you know, getting the one-and-done players, though, you will look back and be like, well, we proved that we could get them in there in that draft class and kind of took off from there. But not what we wanted to come out of this year, of course.
Well, where do we fall now, Draven? Because – as a Tennessee fan, as someone covering this team over the last, 7 years, I have seen the pendulum swing a couple times. It was Konzo Martin's last year. Look at all this NBA talent. Look at Josh Richardson. Look at Jordan McRae. We're talented. We should be better. Blah, 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 blah. Then it was Donnie Tindall. Wow, look at this coaching. It maximizes all the talent on the court. He's going to get the best shot. He's going to have the best offensive sets. The defense is going to know what they're doing. They're going to play hard. And then when you hire Rick Barnes, it's like, look at all the recruiting he did at Texas. You better start getting some first-round picks. You're about to have All-Americans. And then, the recruiting is very, very slow at the beginning. And it was, wow, Grant Williams, 3-star. Admiral Schofield, 3-star. Look at all this development. College basketball is all about development. It's all about having guys that know how to play basketball, and it's all about gritty guys. And then Tennessee didn't win anything big. And then it was, wow, look at the 2020 recruiting class. 5-stars. You got to have 5-stars to win. And then the 5-stars don't win. And it's now like, well, you got to have guys that just know how to play again. You got to have a team. You got to have guys that know how to play. So where do we fall now? What is Tennessee going to do? Because it seems like we've been trying both methods and ain't none of them worked. At least for big-time success.
You got to blend them. The best teams know how to blend it well.
That's a good point.
You could just, for example, I mean, Baylor just won the championship. Baylor's got guys that have been there for a few years, but they developed into good players. And there's also the players that are going to be first-round picks. So
well, they also took a handful of transfers, right?
Yeah, and they did get some good transfers as well. So it's just they've maximized a part of almost every part of, the goals college basketball teams have. And they had lots of success with it. And, I mean, you can even look at Gonzaga, too, getting to the championship. They've always been, kind of known for the development of players, things like that, having those four-year guys that, may not be the best NBA players or anything, but can play college basketball with the best of them. And then now they started to get a little five-star talent in, and you could see kind of like at the end of that UCLA game, the five-star talent kind of showed up and, kind of boosted them to the championship. So the best teams know how to get both. I don't think you can jump on either side of the fence and have the highest level of success.
And also, how good is Rick Barnes at developing players? Like, can we question that a little bit? Like, it was Grant and Admiral not a little bit of a fluke when I just, again, looking at this year, talk about Corey Walker, you talk about Anasicki. Like, we didn't even have a post player. We were throwing out Euros in a tournament game. He literally started in tournament game when we have these other two, at least 6'8", 6'9", big guys who could do something, you would think, and you can't develop those guys any better. Like, Anasicki completely went from a stretch four shooter, a guy that can knock down shots, to a guy that can't even step on the court. He literally couldn't even get on the court. And that makes me think, is he even that good at developing players?
I don't know how far I'll go in judging Barnes, it is, for Anasicki. When it comes to development, because, by the time Anasicki got here, he's, 21, 22 years old? I mean, he's already kind of a senior, so, I don't know how much development you could do at that point. Now you could argue about, putting Anasicki into a, any place to succeed.
Right.
You can make that argument of, hey, you didn't find, his role on the team.
Well,
you
just even looking past that, don't we kind of think Bescovy took a step back from last year to this year?
Oh, well, yeah. I was just talking about Anasicki. I mean, to your larger point of Barnes and his development, I was on the train long before that. I feel like Grant and Admiral are just kind of special. I feel like those guys were wired certain ways. Like, Grant was talented. He was just a little undersized. And, he
super
got here.
Smart
and
player as well.
Yeah, I'll give Barnes credit. Like, he worked with Grant. Like, whatever, Grant bought in. Grant was Grant. With Admiral, from the beginning, all you heard about was his work ethic, coming from a Navy family and all that.
Right.
And, he came in overweight, and he did the work, and he lost weight, and he got in shape. So, part of that is development. Part of that is the player wanting to get better.
It's just a perfect fit. I mean, Grant.
And it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, Grant's literally perfect for what Rick Barnes wants to do. Right? So we've discussed that.
Outside before. Of Admiral and Grant, I mean, I would say you have a couple guys who have gotten better. I mean, Fulkerson at times. Mm-hmm. You know, I never thought he would have been a guy that could score over 27 points in a SEC game. And yeah. He didn't do that this year. But
I was going to say. It was disappointing that, you know, your last year where you're supposed to really kind of set off, you took a major step back.
I think he dealt with injuries. I think he dealt with COVID. So, like, I'm not going to completely write off his development. Although I do think we underestimated Fulkerson's talent when he got here. Because as a freshman, he showed some flashes as a rebounder and shot blocker. It could score a couple points. I'll give Barnes some credit for Fulkerson, as I will for, like, Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as guards and as far as other big men, then, like, not really. Not really. I mean, Kamwa, you know, through 2 years, I don't feel like it's much better.
Yeah.
Not much better. He was still at the point where you couldn't trust him on the courts. When we talk about today's news, Pines declaring for, you know, professional basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he was obviously developed. He got better. But yeah. I don't know how to break down the percentage, because over the last two off seasons, the stories were about, like, Pines working out, like, in France, like, with their national team and, like, with James Harden. He was playing those NBA games with James Harden and, like, those trainers. But he got better.
Yep.
But I don't know how to break down the percentages. I don't know how I feel about Barnes in terms of players coming here and improving. I don't know if I want projects here.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't shown me that he can land all, you know, that he could develop all of those guys.
Yeah.
To me, I think maybe the biggest thing is, like, Barnes needs guys that are mentally willing to buy in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know how many of those guys are going to buy into his quote unquote boot camp. Like, Corey Walker obviously didn't. Corey Walker's like, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't even think Jaden Springer did, but, you know, he was just good enough that you had to play him.
And, right.
And, you know, you're a 5-star recruit, you gotta get him on the floor. And yeah, I think he was more than happy to get out of here when he could.
Yeah, he was the first one. He's like, I'm out. Yeah. I am out of here. First round grade, good enough for me.
Yeah.
Good enough for me. So we'll try to figure out what happens with Fulkerson.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine an announcement of some point or of some kind is coming soon. We'll keep an eye on transfers.
Yep.
The kid we got from Auburn, Justin Powell, I'm excited about him.
Yeah,
I think he's an upgrade over, you know, what Tennessee had, especially when you consider what level of transfer Tennessee's got in the last couple of years. Like,
mm-hmm.
It does seem like Tennessee might be able to pull some bigger guys this year. Like, there's going to be a stud point guard that you could play with Kenny Chandler, and there's going to be opportunities, you know, to play in the post, to play on the wing. Like, this roster is going to be pretty much completely overhauled. Yeah. You'll have Chandler. You'll have Powell. Those two should be in the starting lineup. Outside of that, I mean, if Fulkerson comes back, pencil him in, I guess. Josiah, you would think, would be starting, but he's also shown he's willing to come off the bench, so there's opportunities to even pass him. So, like, I would say only two starting spots right now I feel like are locked down, and I would say that's Chandler and Powell.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Man, it's crazy when you look at, like, next season. You're like, man, the team we're chasing this year is going to be Alabama. Yep. Usually, you think Kentucky mm-hmm. usually, but you look at the head and you're like, oh man, Alabama.
Has that changed? Or is that it? Is, like, Alabama going to be the pace setter, you say?
Yeah, I think I saw some way too early, like, rankings have them as, like, a top 10 team preseason.
Okay,
like, I think they're getting a stud point guard in too. They just got a former 5-star guy transfer from Texas Tech, so
yeah.
They're adding some more, you know, potential there. And yeah, I think they're going to be the team that's favored in the SEC going in next year.
Got a big 5-star transfer, but a guy that is a 5-star that didn't play much or didn't perform a lot for Texas Tech. So it's always hard to judge those guys whenever they actually transfer. But
I think he averaged like 5 points a game, somewhere around there.
Which, keep that in mind if Tennessee lands Walker Kessler. Like, keep the same energy.
Yep.
Because that's going to be pretty much the same situation there. All right, Hodden, send us a break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you...
Any more thoughts on Tennessee basketball, boys?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm just more worried, John. I'm more worried. Like, you bring up Justin Powell, and I'm excited about that guy as well, but is it kind of the notions that doesn't play the best defense? Kind of.
I haven't seen that at all about him.
Okay. I just saw it. I think offensive stuff.
I think that's racism.
Why is that?
I think you see 6'6" white guy and you assume he can't play defense.
That's not always true.
What, is he sneaky athletic too?
I haven't seen one person say anything bad about his defense.
All you see about is his offense. All you see about is his shooting. You don't see tenacious defender.
Well, that's fine. I'm not saying he is a lockdown guy, but I haven't seen like liability out there. I haven't seen anybody treat him like Kyle Korver.
Well, look, my whole point
who
is...
Who also was a sneaky, underrated defender.
Like Isaiah Thomas, the short one, not the one from the Pistons. Ain't nobody treating him like that. That seems racist.
I'm just trying to say.
I'm just trying to say it seems like racism is afoot here.
I just think when you talk about a player and you don't say anything about their defense, they're not a defensive player. They're more of an offensive player. You talk about, oh, they're shooting everything. I didn't see one thing about on-ball defender, harassing,
well,
anything like that.
Let's be honest. What did you read about Justin Powell? I'm not singling you out. I don't know what you read. I feel like whenever you see player transfers – you'll either see pretty much that they are – like if you're a George Mason writer today, you're saying Devontae Gaines is a, you know, fearsome defender.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
what you're saying. Otherwise, that's all he can do. With other players, I feel like you'll just usually see their points per game and rebounds and assists. Like no one's really doing like full film breakdowns on these press releases of transfers. I don't feel like, at least.
No, I don't think so. But still – I think there's a little bit something there, but my whole point about this is...
I would say his size, I anticipate him being a capable defender simply because he's 6'6", and just his size alone should allow him to play, you know, guard 1 through, you know, almost 4 sometimes in college basketball. I actually look at his defense as it should be better. It shouldn't be like Victor Bailey out there. It shouldn't be like Vescovi. He is a bigger guard who should at least be able to bother guys with his length. So I am surprised... that you would, you know, question his defense just simply because we haven't seen that it is bad. But also, like, at his size, I think he should be pretty good, or at least capable.
What I'm kind of getting at here, though, is I just think that, and I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on this because, you know, I think we keep talking about these players having to adjust to Rick Barnes. And I think that's the reason that these guys don't get to kind of shine and do their thing like we've seen. And I'm worried that if you do have a guy like Justin Powell, and whether he's good at defense or not, let's say he doesn't come out and play the best defense. He's more trying to be the shooter, the scorer. That could be like less minutes for him, and I think that's problematic. I think this issue is more about Rick Barnes not adjusting to his players instead of the players having to do adjust to him. And is that wrong? Is that just every college coach or what?
No, I would say that's fair. But you would, you know, you saw Victor Bailey and Vescovi still get plenty of minutes, and neither one of those guys can defend at all. So maybe if Tennessee's deeper, you'll see that be a factor. But I would say Justin Powell's coming here to be a starter and play a bunch of minutes.
Okay.
I guess it's what I would assume, you know, seeing what he did at Auburn. Although Barnes at times would look at someone's defense and let that be a disqualifier. So, I mean, I get your point. I don't have those concerns about Powell.
Yeah. It may, like, sub him out in, like, certain defensive situations if he's that concerned about his defense. Like, you know, the way we saw, like, you know, Gaines coming at the end of the game to play defense. Things like that. But, yeah, I don't think it'll be that big of an issue.
I would love to see offensive defensive substitutions. We don't do that.
Yeah, except for the SEC, one time.
In the SEC semifinals, we were subbing offense defense out for Euros and Vescovi, except we were doing it the opposite direction. We were putting Vescovi in for defense and Euros in for offense. Like, what the hell are we doing, Rick? What are we doing? What we're doing is sitting out here in the beautiful sun under a nice, cozy tent. A little breeze coming in for us as we are watching the Masters at Hops and Hollers, a $125 inward half golf shopping spree on the line. Two of them, one during our show, one during the drive. You can sign up for the one during our show by following Inward Half Golf on Twitter. What's Inward Half Golf? Oh, it's a golf performance line. Great hats. Nice, smooth, silky shirts. You ain't going to sweat in these bad boys. You ain't going to sweat in these bad boys. Got koozies to give away and, like I said, $125. $1 off of every pint sold today goes to the Greater Tea of Knoxville.
Yeah,
as we raise some money.
We love first.
CBS Sports. Some positive Tennessee football news. Sort of, kind of. Josh Palmer all the way up to the second round.
Let's go.
In the latest mock draft.
Yeah, man's flying up draft boards.
Second round pick.
Absolutely.
My sources tell me there's lots of good chatter surrounding him right now. Yep.
What do you mean your sources? What sources
hey,
are you talking about?
You know
about?
I'm making mock drafts. I'm out there in the mock draft world now.
No, I mean,
lots of mock drafters.
I know you made a mock draft.
I have made two versions.
Did I miss the second version?
I didn't. You said you
oh,
didn't
when
want
I was
it.
Out. Was it when I was out? Did you get the second version when I was out today?
I didn't actually give it out, but I have it. I still have it. Y'all just didn't seem as interested in it to me. Draven never even made his first one, so I was just like, okay, these guys don't really care about my mock draft.
So what's happening here is you got insecure, and now you're blaming Gus for your insecurity.
I'm still working on it. I'm going to release it to the public, but I'm also not like these Todd McShays and people like Mel Kiper's, just trying to push narratives, create conversation.
Sure.
I'm going to give you real information about what's actually going
to
happen.
That's all fine and good, but let's get back to your source. What the hell are you talking about?
I got sources.
What do you mean you got sources?
There's lots of internet places where, you know, people discuss mock drafts. They discuss, you know,
so
scouting
you've read,
reports,
you've read message
things like
boards.
That. No, a message board is a little extreme.
You're like every Tennessee football insider on VolQuest or 247. We're Vol Nation. You're just one of those guys, huh?
No. I use Reddit a little bit. Reddit's useful, but I also use a lot of draft websites, things like that.
How reliable?
I watch a lot of
my
film
sources.
How reliable is Reddit as a source?
Extremely
for
reliable.
Reddit's done some
extremely
things in the past.
Reliable.
Reddit's got a good track record.
Okay.
Reddit's got a good track record.
If you're on the right subreddits, you're reliable. You gotta find the right ones though.
Josh Palmer, number 60.
60 overall, yeah.
To the Nolens Saints.
Go play with
Kamara. I hate that for him.
Kamara and Callaway.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about Callaway.
And
wow.
And Tuttle.
And, well, yeah, I was just looking on offense. But, yeah, Tuttle. It seems like Sean Payton's he's got a system here. It's Tennessee players are undervalued because they're such a train wreck.
Yep.
The players are actually good. Let's get those guys.
Yep.
He did it with Kamara in the third round.
Worked out pretty well.
Did it with Callaway undrafted. Did it with Sean Tuttle undrafted as well, right?
Yeah.
Let's just keep getting the Tennessee guys, because all those guys have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially compared to expectations. I mean, I don't know how good
absolutely.
I would say Callaway was, but he was definitely...
I mean, he was serviceable.
Yeah, he was definitely an NFL-level player that you got for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was returning punts for him a little bit,
yeah,
or no?
Yeah, he was. But they had lots of injuries at receiver, and he was productive. He's...
Which, I mean, I guess who do they have at receiver left next year after Michael? I mean, just Michael Thomas, right?
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders.
He's gone.
Sanders is gone.
Taysom Hill is probably not going to be used as much since he'll be kind of your backup.
You wouldn't think so.
As a receiver at least.
And they had a lot of just like low-level guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like they lost a few in free agency.
Yeah.
I can't really remember all the exact names.
Traquan Smith, I don't know if he's still
on the
team.
Yeah, like, you know, with their cap situation.
A little shifty guy.
Yeah. With their cap situation, they couldn't go get anybody. So the draft is where they're going to get a few more receivers and try and get some more playmakers on that offense for Jameis. So they can make tackles when he throws interceptions.
Yeah. What's crazy here, though, is like this receiver class we talked about, it's so loaded.
Oh, so
like
deep,
for him to go 60 overall with all these different guys.
That surprised me a little bit.
Like I've seen like four or five different receivers in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about that. So
he hasn't gone pretty, yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone yet in the second round.
True.
But the fact he's being talked about, it, that seems
good
pretty
sign.
Good.
Good sign for him. It means he probably definitely on track to be a day two guy.
And there was a lot of buzz surrounding him. But, you know, I kind of equate it to last year. Out of nowhere, Darrell Taylor started popping up in the first round to Seattle, which he didn't go draft in the first round to Seattle, but he did. They did draft him in the second round.
Yep.
So at least like they know some team likes him. I would say that's probably New Orleans. I would say they're probably hearing some really good stuff from him from New Orleans.
Oh, he fits. He fits their kind of mold too. He's similar to just slightly I think bigger than like the Emmanuel Sanders kind of receiver, but. You know, can compliment Michael Thomas well enough and, you know, do some more things outside of run slant. So they need another guy like that. And hello, B. So they can.
Are you scared of bees?
Not really. It just jumps in my face.
You've been really a little shook by the bee.
I will. The wasps were the ones that get me, but the bee was fine.
I will say they are kind of coming at Cam for some reason.
They like me. It's weird. They've been but I've never Cam been stung bit. Before. Is also my thing. I'm trying to keep that streak alive.
You're the type of guy who would get stung by the bee and then be sad that you killed the bee.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sorry I made you sting me, bee, because now you're dead.
We got to save the bees. The wasp, though, you got to kill it after it stings you, because they can keep going, so.
Fair enough.
But, yeah. Trying to keep my streak alive of never being stung, so I'm a... Wasp will get me a little jumpy. Wasp will get me a little jumpy. Those things are mean.
I got another text from my girl Ashley over there about my pain.
Really?
She's relentless. She's relentless.
She's dedicated to her job.
I somehow ended up on a list. She's constantly trying to sell me some pain treatment. I might go in there. I might just be like, you know what? You got me.
Yeah.
Let's say this is her tactic, man.
You got me. My shoulder is hurting me, Ashley. Let's fix this.
How'd you know?
Let's fix it. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch. For a while now, trying to find my way back home. I don't know how.
Oh, it's some beautiful patio music, Hodden. Good job by you. Some sad news out of the music world. Had a couple false alarms, but it's official. Officially official. Draven, take us to the news desk.
Go ahead.
You there?
Yeah, I am there. Piers, guys, sad news. DMX, it's official. I think he has passed away.
Mm.
So, tough. Tough stuff.
It's dark, and hell is hot. R.I.P.
Yep.
To D.
Rip.
Give me everyone go around the room. Let's give our best dog bark, please. We'll start with you, Hayden.
I can't do that.
You can't bark?
You don't know how to bark like a dog?
I can't do it.
Is the emotion too much? You're afraid you're going to cry or what?
Yeah.
A legend just passed, Hayden. The least you can do. If you have ever gotten... crunk, as we used to call it back in the day, to party up in here, or the Rough Rider Anthem, or X gonna give it to you, you give me a dog bark right now.
Come back to me at the end. I'll give you one.
We'll come back to you at the end.
You wait
course.
To see what kind of dog barks we do?
Draven, give us a dog bark, please, in honor of Earl Simmons, a.k.a. D, a.k.a. DMX.
Oh, oh.
That was pitiful.
Pitiful?
I mean, it was better than Hayden's. You're leader in the clubhouse right
Thank
now.
Thank you. I was about to say, at least I gave my best shot. Hayden, too chicken over there.
Karen? It's not bad.
It's pretty good. Okay.
The dogs are barking.
I can tell you guys didn't listen to a lot of DMX. You didn't do the growls. You guys
That's
didn't do the DMX
fair.
Dog
That's
bark.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You can tell you guys weren't DMX right. fans. Hodden? Hayden? I was really, really hoping he'd come in with a high-pitched yelp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really hoping.
Like a little chihuahua.
Really hoping Hayden would go for the comedic yelp there. R.I.P.
Yeah, rest in peace.
I don't think you two probably recognize, not you, Cam, as much, but I would say Hayden and Draven probably don't recognize the run that DMX have. You guys seen some of those videos?
Oh, yeah.
From that one, like, music festival where he's got, like, you know, 500,000 people
An
out there.
Ocean of people.
Have you not seen those videos?
Oh, man, that video is insane.
It's like
where,
him.
Where is this from?
It'd be, like, from, like, early 2000.
Okay.
But it's like him at a music festival, and they're on the beach, and yeah, it's just like a sea of people. I've never seen so many people.
You'll probably see it circling around Twitter and stuff now that yeah. you know this news is out. But yeah it's just unreal, and everybody's into it. Everybody's into it. X was giving it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Release a double album. Release two albums, I guess, in 1 year. I guess is how I should have phrased that.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot. It was on top of the game for a while, Draven.
Yep.
Made Foilers cool. Brought Foilers to the street. That was one of the coolest videos I'd seen back in the day. Rough Rider Anthem video, and there's riding down the street. Some motorcycles.
Yeah.
Four wheelers. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Sad, man. It is sad. It is sad when people start dying.
Yeah. Especially.
Not so much like the drug overdoses. Like, we always have those, right? We have the people get taken from a young age. Although, I guess this is kind of what sunk DMX, right? Didn't they say it was a drug overdose that kind of gave him the heart attack or whatever? So, I guess.
Yeah, at 50.
I was thinking more of like, yeah, people dying, you know, like Mac Miller. Now, that's obviously sad, but like, you know, we've had those celebrities die from drug overdoses early. I was thinking more, I guess, of this situation being old age, tough life. But I guess it was also an overdose that got him.
Yeah.
With him, it was a, you know, 2-decade-long battle with drug addiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Respect to how he hid his tax money from the IRS, though, for a good minute. He had a good run there, too. I respect the hustle.
I feel like they're usually going to catch you.
They caught up to him.
I feel like tax evasion gets everybody, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The government wants their money.
I mean, isn't that what eventually got... That's what's gotten some of the biggest, like, criminals of our time, right? Isn't that what got, like, John Gotti?
Was it?
I think so.
Like, some of, like, the biggest, most notorious mobsters have, like, gotten... They can't get them, like, the drug charges. They can't get them on the crime. They always just get them on the...
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
It's even how that goes in, like, the movies and TV shows, too. Like, they have no other, like, reason to, like, search anything. They're like, oh, we got them on tax evasion. Like, let's go in.
Well, it's because it's so hard to wash money. It's so hard to hide it. And when you're making all that money, it's hard to make it look legal.
Yep.
Eventually they'll get you. And they got DMX. It's tough. Death's tough.
It is.
People start dying from your childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
I'm already feeling old enough, Draven.
I mean, he was only 50, like you said. It's not like it was super old age or anything. Just
that's what I'm saying. I know, he's only 50.
Yeah.
You could die at 50.
I know.
I feel like once you get 50, that's when you start getting really worried. Like, hey, I might die.
Yeah, any day.
I don't know. 50's pretty young still.
Well, right now in my mind, I'm like, if I get to 50, I'm gonna be feeling like I could drop dead any minute. Heart attack could get you.
I'm surprised I made it to 26. 50. I'm doubling up.
Yeah.
It's all a mentality. You could be healthy and striving at 50.
You can be.
I mean, yeah, but are you going to exercise every day from now till you're 50 so you're in prime shape? Because I'm not.
I don't think you got to be in prime shape at 50, but yeah. Probably do need to start taking care of yourself better now when you get to 50.
That's what people keep trying to tell me. They're like, eat a vegetable. No, don't eat a second bag of pizza rolls. I'm like,
I keep waiting for your metabolism to catch up to you, but it hasn't yet.
Yeah.
It is impressive because you pretty much do nothing.
Yeah, I don't.
From a physical standpoint.
I really don't do anything.
I guess you started working in some dodgeball into your regimen, but.
Yeah, that's about it.
There you go.
I feel like you've exercised like 8 times the last year and a half.
Yeah, that may be overstating it, but yeah.
Like over under like eight times the last year and a half. Yeah. It's probably close to that, right?
I ran like 3 times.
Yeah.
Flag football that one time.
That one time. And one I played dodgeball.
Played basketball with me one time.
Yeah. And I've played dodgeball, I think, twice now.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Okay. Where is that 8?
Yeah, I think that's 8, right on the money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Odds brought to you by FanDuel.
Still fit.
Somehow.
Still fit.
It's the pizza rolls, I'm telling you.
If I took 3 weeks off of doing nothing, I would balloon up to 260.
Think so?
Not 260. That was 250. I have to work hard to stay at 235. And I am a little chunky. But I have to work hard to stay here. Especially the way you eat, Cam. My goodness.
I know. It's crazy.
Genetics, man.
It's not fair.
Crazy thing.
It's not fair.
I still got some little guns a little bit, too. Just little small pea shooters, you know? But, hey, you know, I can legally carry these around without a permit now.
You can hide that in your sock. You can hide that in your sock. That is true, though. We do have the constitutional carry law now. You can't get the guns out.
I know my rights.
Not the big guns, but you can't have. You can't carry.
But I can carry these little things. Such a nice day out here. Such a nice day.
I always liked it when DMX said some old man fishing was going to find you.
True words. True words have never been spoken.
1-2. Meet me outside. All my Rough Riders, go meet me outside. Meet me outside.
Talk about lyrical genius.
Maybe outside the pearly gates. Mm. Pour some water out for
pour
Earl.
Pour some out for our boy. Bang, bang.
R.I.P. Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Old Man Frank.